All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is
Maddie Juice. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the freshest of juices. And what is our new slogan, Tommy?
If the juice ain't worth the squeeze, we'll tell you.
There it is.
And we have actually, you know what? I'm just going to hide it real quick because we had the logo of the game from last week up at the top, which we don't not want to talk about that game again. But if you want to listen to us talk about a pretty interesting game called Beyond Citadel, it was last week's episode. Just check out the last video or the last episode if you're listening on audio platforms. Now, we got a great episode for you all. Today, we are covering a brand new, guess what, like a shooter roguelike with some co-op stuff going on called Warden's Will. And, you know, it's a pretty interesting game. I think we have a lot of interesting things to talk about, but we're going to get into that. But before we do that, what's new? What's going on? Let's catch up.
Yeah. So let's see what's been going on. I had to go into the work office last week. For those who don't know, I work remote full time. So that was change of pace, you know, just for some like planning meetings for the year. So it is what it is, kind of thing. Did that. Then let's see, over the weekend, went over to your casa, had a great time, hung out with some folks, watched some football, had some great food. It was a good time. So appreciate that invite there, sir. Just Sunday, just watched some football, kind of relaxed a bit. I was pretty wiped out, actually, from the party. I think some of us were hopping on Discord the next morning, and we were just like, we're too old. Like, you know, I had 5 beers, and I'm wiped, you know. But it was a good day. We won't talk about the games or anything like that. Today, it's Tommy Fresh's birthday, folks. Oh. Okay. All right. So if you're listening to this 2 days after his birthday, wish him a happy birthday. All right.
Thank you.
We go. Yes. this is exactly what he wants to be doing on his birthday, recording Fresh Juice.
This is just as exciting as anything else I would do on my birthday. And it's better than going to work, which I did do also today, which is just awesome. But
yeah, what about you?
It's been like a kind of a busy week. You know, we had people over the weekend, which was like a lot of fun. And yeah, I was wiped too, but I agreed preemptively the next day, Sunday, to help my buddy move a couch pick up a couch at IKEA. So I woke up like relatively early the next morning after, you know, cleaning up after everybody left and stuff like that. And then, you know, shout out to Elizabeth, New Jersey. Shout out, Elizabeth. Yeah. You know what? I got to say, like, Jersey gets a bad rap, but like when you go to that IKEA, you understand because it's the only thing around there is IKEA's and Newark Airport. Yep. And you're just like, yeah, this looks like, I mean, if I flew into Newark and I'd never been to New Jersey, I'd be like, oh yeah, this place does kind of suck, but there's some nice places, I promise. But helped him move that couch, pick it up and stuff like that, chatted with him and what else did we do, man? Jeez, it's been a whirlwind. I did turn 33 today. That was cool. Pretty old now. Booked the honeymoon, which is cool. Excited for that. So April, we'll have to bank some episodes, or at least probably 2 episodes. But we'll figure it out. We'll cross that bridge when we reach it. And also, the listeners do not have to worry about it whatsoever. Watch some football, which was cool. I chose not to watch the Packers-Eagles game, and it was a great decision, although it still put me in a foul mood last night, and I hate everything because, well, listen, so Matt, and as he drinks from his Eagles cup, you mother. Oh, what? That was.
I didn't realize the logo was facing the camera. I apologize. Mm-hmm. Usually it's not. All right.
So here's the thing. It sucks to lose no matter what, right? As like when your team loses. It's extra sucky when they lose to the Eagles. And the reason is, well, because I don't live in Wisconsin. I'm not around a bunch of people that are going to commiserate. I'm around a bunch of people that started talking shit a week ago. They're just like, this is fuck you, Tommy, weekend, blah, 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 blah. And Matt's one of the good Eagles fans. Doesn't really do that. But every other Eagles fan I know.
Yeah.
Just without exception, will talk shit relentlessly. And I just got to sit there and take it. And he's like, ooh, pack it in. Even like I'm a month into my new job. And the one guy in the office that's an Eagles fan came in. He's like wearing like an Eagles like sweater. I'm like, he's like, sorry, man. And I'm like, I don't want to talk to you, you know, and it is all good. And the worst part is usually because like I go to the gym, right? And I don't watch like network television like normally, but when you're at the gym, ESPN's just on. Mm-hmm. So you just get to see all these stupid talking heads being like, is this the end of the Packers forever?
Yep. Yep.
Will they never recover? And it's always the same thing. It's with every team, really. Like if the Eagles end up losing, they're going to do the same thing. It's like, is it time for Saquon Barkley to pack it up?
Right.
Or something like that. Yep. And it's just a terrible world we live in. I'm almost glad TikTok's going away in a couple of days because that's even worse because it feeds it to you. But I digress. We're here. Oh, I also got a nice gift from Lady Fresh.
Yeah.
A Steam Deck.
Ooh, getting steamy.
My birthday. Very cool. Yeah. So be checking out some Steam Deck compatibility with some games that we're playing. So,
oh, yeah. Maybe you can, you'll be able to talk about the performance side of things with the games you review if you try it on the Steam Deck. Be like, yeah, it worked. It didn't work. You know?
I'm very excited. I'll be playing it on probably both. You know, I'll start on here and then probably like, oh, I'm going to go lay in bed and play it on Steam Deck, see how it goes. And that's going to be a lot of fun. But we do have a great episode for you all. As I mentioned, we're going to be covering Warden's Will. That was a tough one to say. But before we do that, we have some news. Big news. We have a Discord.
Oh,
it is so cool. It is a great place to join and hang out and interact with us and submit listener questions. And just like, you know, we'll post like different game deals and stuff like that. You know, I know that Burke, Turtle Matern, just started playing Dredge today, which is very exciting. Nice. Also, a shout out to, you know, the question bot himself, Capolo, who's also his birthday today and is in Japan having a great time.
Woo!
You know, we love our community. They're all the best. The juice heads juicing it up every day. But
also, shout out to a new member of the Discord, too. We got a new member that popped in.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, Minji VN. I don't know if I said that right, or Ming, perhaps. But welcome to the Discord. It's good to have you here. And feel free to drop in some listener cues, for the eps. We appreciate to have you. Now, we appreciate that you're here. There we go.
it's a good time. We love everybody. Everybody's great. And except for that one coworker I have, still steaming. But yeah. Well, it is actually funny. I did send last night, just blowing off steam playing Bowser on my phone. I just send a video to Maddie and Bags, just like I'm blowing off steam. And it was just like a infinite, like, bing, 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 like one of those ones. And you're just like, yeah, like make it go to E. I'll show them, but I did put a trailer in our notes here. It wasn't a lot of indie game news. January slow month, but this is something I missed last month. But there is a game called Windrunners that was announced a couple years ago from Ludic Studios, which is a Latin American company that made a Kane or a Kane. I forget what the pronunciation is, but that's a supposedly a really great game, but they also have a roguelike, like battleship kind of game. Starship kind of game. mm-hmm. coming out called Windrunners, where it looked really cool. And I saw the official trailer was finally released a month ago. So that I have to assume that means the game is coming soon, because I also downloaded the demo and I started playing around with it. And we looked right before the episode and the demo's gone. So maybe we're about to see perhaps another demo or even a full release come soon. But I just wanted to say, I played the demo and I was like, it was clearly very alpha from the beginning of development. But the gameplay of this game was just so fun. It's like a side-scrolling, like ship-flying roguelike, almost like a, not a Bullet Heaven really, but you get to do the dogfight thing, right? You know, yeah. where you can dodge and like do like a barrel roll and flip over the ship that was chasing you and then get behind them and shoot them. And it was just like really satisfying. It was very, the performance wasn't great because it was a little clunky, but the elements were there. The roguelike elements were there. You beat a mission, you upgrade your ship. It seemed really cool. I wish the demo was still up, but I think that we're getting close to a release. So we're going to keep our eye on that one.
Yeah, it definitely looks really cool. And I'd never heard of this game. One thing also, just like the art style is very cool. You know, it's like that retro kind of art style, but also like 3D, like some of the environments are 3D, which is really cool. Just flying your ship around there. And it seems like, yeah, it's got those kind of bullet hell vibes, a lot going on. So I'm definitely interested in seeing, you know, more about this game. And hopefully, you know, I know I didn't get a chance to play the demo, but I'm hoping like the gameplay feels as tight as it looks. Mm-hmm. Cause I think, you know, obviously for a game like this, you want it to be pretty precise with, you know, how you're flying and where you want to end up flying. So, yeah, but it looks pretty cool. And also great name, Windrunners.
Yeah.
Badass name. Love that.
And I will say the one thing that really stood out to me, other than the gameplay, which I thought was pretty sick, and like if they nail it, it's going to be, I think, a banger, right? It's like one of those things like, wow, this is very addicting. If they can really bring it together, this is going to be a great game. Mm-hmm. But the sound design, and you can kind of tell in the trailer as well, the sound design is so like nostalgic, but really clean. And it's got these really great sound effects, like when you're flying the ship and boosting the ship and shooting. Oh, it's just like, it reminds me of just all the really cool kind of sci-fi games that you play like years ago, which I think is a great indicator of a good game. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But we do got to talk about this week's game, which is Warden's Will.
Yes, it is.
I almost said Windrunner again.
we got the copy. It's here.
Warden's Will is a fast-paced movement shooter roguelike, playable solo or up to a three-player co-op. Choose your warden, master unique movements, and abilities, and overpower hordes of robots in intense battles. Fly, dash, smash, and turn bullet hell into bullet heaven. Now, this is an interesting game. From what I can tell, I never really played Risk of Rain, right? So this is kind of in that same genre, I believe, where you kind of go in and it seems like, I'm not sure if it's procedurally generated. I didn't actually, it seemed like it was every time I went in, it was a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So you pop in and you have like these missions you got to do, and all of a sudden, these robots start spawning, and they're running at you, yada, yada, yada. And it's a third-person shooter, right? You're running through. You have, like, a dash. You have kind of a cool mechanic that, you know, I don't play a lot of shooters, but I thought it was pretty neat, where when you're shooting with, like, your right trigger, it starts to power up your left trigger to shoot, like, a special shot. But, like, if you overheat your right trigger, you can't use either until it gets back to normal. So it actually like rewards you for switching back and forth with your right trigger to your left trigger. I think I was using a special gun that, you know, regular kind of semi-automatic laser bursts. And then like with the left trigger, you can shoot like a sticky bomb onto the enemies that would like burn them, which was pretty sweet. So the gameplay here was pretty fun, pretty addicting. I like the movement. It was pretty smooth. The issues that I had, though, was it felt a little empty at times. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel fully realized in a lot of ways. Like, even the missions were kind of, I don't know, I thought pretty one note, right? You had to, like, turn on these satellite things, right? And it didn't feel like it was hard, because, like, you would get, like, hordes of enemies, but, like, it didn't feel like a real challenge to do that, because all you had to do was, like, get past the turrets that were near the satellite thing. So it was, like, strange. It felt a little directionless at times, but maybe that's, like, they want you to kind of explore, but it didn't feel like the maps were vast or anything like that. I think the core gameplay, though, was fun. It wasn't, like, a unenjoyable experience, but I felt like there was something missing, and I don't know what it was. And I think it might play into the story side of things, maybe, but, and we'll talk about it when we get there. But, like, I felt like it was, like, a well-built game that lacked some soul and some, you know, kind of substance, like, to make you continue to want to do the gameplay, because it was addicting to a certain extent. It wasn't like true roguelike-y addictingness where you just want to hop back in every single time. It's just like, okay, like, these missions are, you know, interesting enough, but it's not like, it doesn't feel like super different every time. And I don't feel like I'm really getting that rewarded for hopping back in. But I also didn't play co-op. This could be a lot more fun in a co-op situation, but it was still a clean game, is where I kind of fell on it.
Yeah, I'm with you on you know, a lot of those thoughts. I thought that, you know, the warden, like, the character that you play as, was well done. You know, you get to choose, there's different wardens you can unlock, and then there's different kind of starting weapons that you can unlock, and you can mix and match, which is cool. And then, yeah, there's the whole kind of flying ability. Like, the movement is very fluid for the warden. And I felt like everything else outside of that felt unfinished or just not super engaging. You know, the world, like you mentioned, it's a bit emptier than I would like it to be. I don't know if the solution to that is maybe having it be a little bit more close quarters a bit, but still allowing enough room, obviously, to fly and traverse the map. Or maybe it's about implementing some things, you know, that kind of help boost your movement. Maybe, you know, if you're flying, maybe there's some rings in the air that you hit, and, you know, you hit a few of them and you start flying even faster, and it kind of makes it feel like it's less empty just because you're moving quicker throughout the map. So that was the biggest thing for me with the gameplay, is I felt I did feel like directionless at times, which, like, you know, again, that could be a design choice. I honestly, you know, there's a few transmitters that you need to triangulate, and once you activate one of them, those are those big satellites you were talking about, it will actually point, like, beams to the other transmitters. So I was using that. I was like, oh, I have to go this direction to find this other transmitter. And it's not that the map is that big and it's like you're never going to find them, but I would have liked some sort of, you know, maybe it's built into the quest, just some sort of, like, indicator of, like, okay, I have to head this direction now, because the map, and we'll talk about the art, but a lot of it kind of looks similar too. So I was kind of, like, going in circles at times. I'm like, oh, I've already been here. I already got this chest. And then you kind of also, you know, what plays into the emptiness of the world is the enemies, right? Like, it even says in the description for the game that, you know, overpower hordes of robots in intense battles. I wouldn't even necessarily classify these as, like, hordes of robots. You know, some of them are pretty, I don't know, pretty easy to defeat. So it never got to a point for me where, like, I felt like I was being overrun by a bunch of enemies. So maybe that would help kind of make the world feel a little bit more full if there really were like a ton of different, you know, groups of them that would be coming after you versus it being kind of almost like one by one. Now I will say I did enjoy the different mechanics of the different robots. You know, some of them are flying, some of them are shooting fire. There's one that has these two drills and they dash at you from in the air. Like the designs of those was cool. And I appreciated having to think a little bit differently of okay, this one's about to dash at me, so I need to dodge, versus another one where I can kind of just pepper them from a distance and then end up killing them. I did really I liked a lot of stuff about the Warden. I like that gun shooting system. I haven't played a game that has that. It might be in some other games, but where you're kind of have your primary fire, and the more you use that, it kind of helps with your secondary fire. That was pretty cool. I enjoyed that. And then you also have an ultimate ability and kind of just another smaller ability that you can use. So that those were good. I enjoyed that. And honestly, I had a lot of fun just kind of flying around. Mm-hmm. Now the enemies, they follow you. It's not like you can de-aggro them at some point, or if you're not in their, you're not in their region anymore, they'll just stop following you. They just keep kind of following you. So that kind of takes a little bit away of me wanting to just explore, because I always have to watch my back. But that's a design choice, and I'm fine with that. I didn't have a big issue with that. But yeah, I wouldn't really classify this game as even a bullet hell. I mean, there were some small moments where there was a decent amount going on, but I always think of a bullet hell as there's a lot going on all the time, or mm-hmm. most of the time. And I just didn't really get that from this game. I feel like it should have been released in early access. It just doesn't feel finished from a gameplay standpoint, with the emptiness of the world. And I take a look at some other games I was getting kind of Crackdown vibes, Crackdown 3, which I know did not do well at all. But I was kind of getting those vibes a little bit. But I would say that game's even more finished than this one. And then Risk of Rain 2, I've never played Risk of Rain. I've only ever watched it. But I saw a bunch of people comparing this game to Risk of Rain 2. And I know Risk of Rain 2 has a lot of great things going for it. And there's the worlds are kind of exciting and packed in that game. And I kind of feel like this is a very light version of that. And I would just, yeah, I would have more confidence in this game from a gameplay standpoint if it was released in early access, because it feels like maybe the developers, and this is their first game, by the way, I did mm-hmm. find that out. So, they're learning. But I do feel like if they thought that this was enough from the world standpoint of kind of how empty the world is, then it makes me concerned that, they might not be able to do updates that fill up the world a bit more if this is kind of what their vision was. But, I don't want to bash them too much. I do think there's some good things going for it for sure. And I would like to see them build on this kind of Warden gameplay, maybe with a different type of map or something like that. And again, I also did not play co-op. It can be up to 3-player co-op. So maybe it starts to feel a little bit more exciting when you're playing co-op, but I do think any co-op game should also be really exciting solo. The gameplay was more concerning than I was expecting it to be. I was really excited about the movement and everything and the gunplay, but with just the way the world is, it made me not want to keep doing runs. Basically, I was just this is just a lot of effort, basically, to get these simple quests done. I just feel like there's just, I don't know. It was a little boring, I guess you could say, most of the time. But yeah, it's a weird one from a gameplay standpoint. I didn't look too much into the story either. I don't know if you have some notes on the story, but I didn't look too much into the story on this game.
Well, yeah. So, they kind of build a little bit of a world here with the story. There's a, you're this, these wardens and you gotta go into this thing. But I felt like that's where a lot of the emptiness came, where it felt like, okay, this is a cool idea. You got these pretty cool shooter guys, right? These wardens that can kind of glide and fly and cool ideas are great, but like I do think you have to give them some substance, and I felt like that was kind of missing. Where it felt like it was close to being that, because like they definitely wanted them to have a little bit of not personality, but like some identity to them. But I felt like that was really missing here. And then when you hop into the world and you realize like, yeah, this is really nothing. This doesn't feel like there's any stakes, really. You're just like, you're just doing the shooty thing, which is fine. I think that totally works, you know, for a lot of different games. But I just felt like maybe if there were more stakes here, that it could have made up for the lack of I guess gameplay variability that we were kind of complaining about. Mm-hmm. So not a ton of notes on the story, but like you kind of had the opportunity here to like build out some really cool stuff, like on the flavor side of this game. And I felt like that was really missing for me. I think it's the character design itself, and we'll talk about that in the art, is like pretty neat. And it makes you want to know more about what these wardens are, why they, like the real reason they're fighting these robots, and also why are the chest crystals? Like that was like kind of like a cool little design choice, but why? Mm-hmm. Why are these chest crystals? It would have like at least contributed, I think, and I thought it was kind of lacking there.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, like, what's the point of these transmitters? Like, is there, there could have been a little bit more story of just like, you know, just kind of tells you load all transmitters. And to be fair, I mean, there is kind of an opening cinematic when you open the game, when you start. But that's the only thing that I really saw. You know, so obviously, I don't think that's enough from a story standpoint. But I agree, like, give it, you know, up the stakes, and maybe the gameplay is, you know, maybe we're more forgiving with some of the faults of the gameplay. But yeah, I didn't really have a lot of notes on the story here. I was expecting, you know, some games that we play, I don't really expect story. I was expecting a little bit more story, especially just like with the title of the game as well, like Warden's Will. I'm like, okay, like let's find out a little bit more about, you know, the will of the warden. But didn't really get a lot there. So yeah, would like to see, you know, a little bit more story elements. Nothing crazy, but something that would explain why we're doing things, where we are even, would kind of help with the other elements of the game.
Yeah, and you're starting off in this like weird like Matrix style empty room like any guns, lots of guns kind of thing, but even that just kind of felt a little empty, which was a little strange. But you know, it was kind of confusing,
I was just gonna say, I even thought when I first loaded into the to actually like a run of the game, and I was in that kind of like area. What did you call it? That like empty area, that
like a like the Matrix. You know, like, yeah, when, like the when Neo goes and like needs something before he goes to like kill everybody. I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I actually started playing like it was the run in there, because I was like, what am I supposed to do? Like I don't understand what I'm supposed to do. And then I realized like there's a portal there that brings you actually into the run.
Oh, I ran through that portal, and I was like, oh, I should be in the place. And I was like, I got to stand in it.
Yeah, you got to stand it. That's another thing, too, is like it would be cool if you could just run into it, because it kind of seems like you should be able to do that. But I guess that's more on the art side.
Yeah. You know, we'll get to the art now, but like as we're getting like through, especially like the gameplay and the story and kind of our complaints and you know, our praises for some of it, too. It does feel a lot like I know this is a full release, not early access, but like, to be honest, it feels less early access and more prologue, like some of these kind of higher end demos that we've seen kind of popularized in the roguelike genre. Like, what was the one we played? Golly, last year that we were pretty excited for the actual release.
Sworn.
No.
Oh, it's I know which one. It's Survivor's. Oh my god,
Survivor's Guilt. I don't know.
yeah. Hollow Survivors.
Hollow Survivors. Yes.
Yeah.
Which was like a pretty fun little prologue experience and makes you excited for what the game could be. I think if this was that, like if that was kind of like, hey, look, you know, you're not going to get a lot of what the full meat and potatoes is going to be, but this is going to be a little bit of it. I would have been a lot more excited for it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just kind of how I felt like this game was playing. But art-wise, though, I do think it looks good. I think this looks pretty cool. Like, you know, there's a lack of character designs, but the ones that they have are very neat, I would say. And a lot of cool, vibrant colors. It doesn't feel dark whatsoever. And, like, you know, murky. It feels, you know, a little cartoonish, which is fun. I like those kind of graphics. And I thought, like, you know, the landscape is probably the most boring thing. And that kind of goes to what we were saying before, empty, right? It's just like a wasteland, which is fine. But like, even it's kind of lacking some of that wasteland charm that you see in a lot of video games. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think like looking at the Warden, we've talked about it and the really bright colors that you kind of take on as the Warden, as well as the weapons and the different kinds of even attacks that are coming at you. I think that a lot of this looks good when you play. Like I never was like, I never felt like I'm playing a busted game or anything like that.
Yeah, I agree. I think they did a great job like with character design, enemy design, and even, you know, it's very satisfying, like breaking those crystals and getting either like health or, you know, a shield or any buffs, things like that. I think ammo maybe is one of them too, or something ammo related. So, yeah, they did a great job with that. And you can almost have like these kind of cell shaded, like I almost got like almost like Borderlands-y kind of vibes from the Warden character, which is kind of cool. Yeah, I would say the biggest pitfall of the art is the world that you're in. Like you mentioned, you know, it just feels a little empty. It also feels like pretty generic looking. I feel like a lot of other stuff in the game, like the enemies and your character, they have their own kind of personality to them. Like I felt like they did a great job making them look unique. But then the rest of the world just kind of seems like it was just kind of thrown together with like some I don't know, like reused assets or something like that, which maybe was the case. I don't really know. But I definitely want more out of the world with the way that it looks. But I think everything else, it's almost like just a 50-50 right now. Like 50% of this game I really like from an art standpoint, and 50% is just something that I'm like, man, they really missed the mark. And even when it comes a little bit to the UI, like I didn't mind the UI too much, but to me, it does seem like it could be a little tighter. In the top right, like for example, like we're watching right now, which I need to loop that again. I just kind of feel like, you know, some of those things can kind of be combined with what's on the left. It doesn't necessarily, you know, I don't know. It just kind of felt a little alpha-y to me. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff in the bottom right was fine. The menu system was all right when you're like going and getting like these different augments for your character. Even like when you're actually in that like lobby area, like the Matrix, you know, I thought that looked okay. It's okay for that to look like there's not really textures, like that makes sense. But yeah, it's just really, you know, it contributes to like the emptiness of the world. Just the world design was a little lackluster for me. And granted, you know, there might be other levels of this too. I played, I think close to like 2 hours of this. I think there's two bosses in the game. I didn't get to them. Just because I was just doing, you know, writing my notes and not really trying to to win, I guess you could say. I was just kind of flying around and having a good time, and killing some things and trying out some stuff and some upgrades and all that sort of stuff. So it might get more interesting from a design standpoint there, but if the first level here is anything to gauge it by, I would say, you know, it's a little lackluster.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, like, the first level is your first impression, right? You gotta hook players. And, like, you know, like you said, there's some good here. And, you know, I think, you know, we'll get to the performance and our actually sound first. I think that the sound was fine. It did feel very generic, especially the soundtrack. I wasn't like, I felt like I was playing any futuristic shooter, right? Which is fine, right? Like, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? That kind of thing. So it wasn't like blowing me away, but it had some like cool little sound effects here and there. You know, some satisfying sounds like when you broke the crystals, and also when some of the enemies would kind of like wind up. It was kind of like, oh, what's going on here? But it wasn't anything to write home about. So, you know,
yeah,
but totally serviceable. Like, honestly, the most on par thing about the game, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the music was fine. There were points where I thought, you know, it was like pretty repetitive, but I guess in a game like this, like, that's fine. You know, because you're kind of just focused on the action of the game. It's not like it's a game where, like Balatro, where you're going to be thinking a lot, you know, and you need the music to be somewhat interesting. I did really enjoy the intro music of when you like launch the game, and it kind of has that cutscene. I thought that was great. It didn't really come over into the actual game itself. They're kind of two different genres, it felt like, of music. But my biggest issue with the sound was really like the gunplay. I kind of felt like it was just like a little like weak sounding. Mm-hmm. I would have really liked, I don't know, just with everything else in the game, I would have liked a little bit more oomph with the guns that I'm using, especially when you're, you know, switching to that like secondary shot, and it's kind of almost like a shotgun sort of shot. I just kind of felt like the visual was there, but like the actual sound of it wasn't really super satisfying. So that's something I think they can improve on. And there are some other guns and stuff that I wasn't able to try, but just the one that I started with was just a little underwhelming with how I thought it should be sounding. But overall, you know, I think the music and the sound design was, like you said, kind of serviceable, and you know, didn't take away too much from the overall game.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And performance wise, you know, maybe some buggy spots for me, but nothing where I was like, this is too much. For the most part, I think it ran pretty well. I played on Steam, obviously. I use controller instead of, you know, mouse and keyboard. But the controller worked, actually, I thought, pretty great. And, like, maybe – did you use controller?
Actually, I was planning to use controller, and I was like, you know what, let me try mouse and keyboard first. And I was actually surprised with how good it felt, even with the mouse and keyboard. So I just kind of kept using it. But I figured it would work well with controller.
So your complaint with the gun sounds, like, it didn't register to me because I had the vibrate from the thing, and the vibrate felt great. I was like, oh yeah, yeah. I'm like,
oh, really? And then
you could feel it kind of like get you like kind of felt the tension.
what are we talking about here?
I'm sorry.
Felt great. Oh yeah,
it felt awesome. No, so you can feel the tension of the right trigger kind of getting to the point where you need to switch over to the left trigger to get like that really more powerful shot. So that kind of thing happened for me. But yeah, performance I thought was fine.
Yeah, same here. You know, actually, like, was pretty great with all the movement and you know, certain small moments where there's like a ton going on. Again, would like there to be more going on more of the time, but yeah, overall, you know, didn't have any issue with the performance. And I'm curious to know how it would run on the Steam Deck, though. If it was verified for it.
I'll give it a try tonight. But yeah, you know, I actually imagine it probably plays pretty well on the Steam Deck now. it is time to rate the game. You know, our ratings are as follows. We have Certified Fresh Juice at the top. These are our best games. Baltro, Norp Apolog, Preserve. These are all games that we really loved last year. A steal after that, you know, it's like a good game, right? Like you feel like you got your money's worth and you got your time's worth. These are games like Ballionaire, Crypt Custodian, The Cub. And then On Sale, a lot of games fall into this category where, you know, they're not without their issues, but they're also not without their merits. And, you know, maybe you're more interested to pick it up if it's on sale. Things like Wizard with a Gun, Hellskate. Yep. And then Manager Special. These are games that are a little bit tough, you know, for us personally. But, you know, maybe if you're really into the genre, you'll be into it. Or if, you know, you just like, well, it's free or something like that. Or it's in a deep discount and you're like, you know, it sounded cool to me. And I'm going to try it. And then finally, Spoiled Milk. These are games that we don't really recommend to anybody. So, well, what are you thinking here?
So this was a kind of a tough one for me. And I'm going to be giving it a low on sale because I do think that there are some redeeming qualities with the game. And I am interested to see kind of how they update it, and even if they can kind of take this Warden style gameplay and bring it to maybe a second game or something similar. We've seen developers do that before when maybe their first game isn't kind of hitting as well as they thought. So I'm giving this a low on sale. I do think, you know, it's worth maybe if you and a few friends want to try out a new game and you see this is on sale, could be a good time. Could, you know, you might be able to kill a little bit of time with it and have some fun. But there were just too many issues for me to really rate it any higher than that. I was close to a Manager Special on this one, but I think there was enough for me to give it an on sale. So that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty close to a high Manager Special. And I think I'm just going to go with the high Manager Special. I think it could eventually get to the on sale thing, but it just felt so empty of an experience for me to really like give it that extra oomph. And you know, I thought about this game quite a bit and like what it really meant to me and what I thought would make it a lot better. And I think the scale probably would have bumped this to like a high on sale, right? So it's kind of a huge scale. You hop into these maps and they're pretty big, right? It almost feels it felt too big. And I think if you scale it down, like you look at a game like that we played a couple weeks ago called Undead West, which in content wise, similar, right? Didn't have a ton of content, but it was on a small scale. The challenges were kind of in your face a little bit more with the scale of the game and the maps and the different rooms. And I think if you brought that in on this game, right, rather than you kind of like, as cool as it is to fly around this Warden, you know, it's not like you really get to enjoy, like you said, like flying around the map because the robots are just chasing you anyway. So why not kind of bring down the size of these maps into like something that feels more challenging. And you're like, this is really difficult. Like, I think you could just up the difficulty and make it a lot more fun. And I don't say that often, right? I think that like this could have just been like, oh my God, these robots like won't stop following me. And like, at times this game would feel like that. And you'd feel like, oh, now I got to really lock in. But, and then there's these lulls where you didn't experience that. And I think that it would have been a better game experience. So I don't know. I think there's some good here. So.
Yeah. And I think also like, you know, you bring up a good point with the difficulties, like with a game that has co-op, you know, maybe it should get to a point where you're like, I need my buddies to hop on to help me with this. You know, like I think of like Helldivers where like, yeah, you could play it solo and you probably do fine, but like that's a game where you're just like you just want your friends to play it because you're going to need to like communicate and it's just easier to kind of get through things. So yeah, I think if they kind of followed your advice there, it could be a reason to also kind of utilize the co-op more often. And this would be more of a co-op game than something you would boot up solo.
That's, I mean, I'm glad you brought up Helldivers, because there's one big similarity in this game. I don't know if you noticed it.
The robots. No, I don't know.
No, your main character wears a cape. Are capes back?
Cape. I think capes might be back.
Helldivers brought capes back.
Yeah, they did. Nice. They sure
They're back in a big way. But yeah, hope you guys enjoyed the review. Next week, we have a interesting one that also came out this week, but I think we wanted to give it a little bit more time. The Rangers in the South, which is looks to be pretty sweet. We'll be checking that out. But we do have some listener questions. And a good one from Eugene yet again, a certified Eugene banger, who asks, sci-fi or fantasy?
So we talked a little bit about this. We didn't give our answers before the show, and saying that this is a tough one. And to me, it almost comes down to like the medium too. Like, I don't really like fantasy games too much, other than maybe like the Dark Souls sort of games, but I enjoy like sci-fi related games. But like when it comes to like movies and things like that, more on the fantasy side than the sci-fi side. I don't know. Probably fantasy, just because of like Lord of the Rings, to be honest. But it really depends. Like I like both of them so much. But I'd probably go with fantasy on this one.
Yeah, this one is tough because like it's all genre dependent on video games for sure, right? You know, there are certain games that I'm like if I want to play an RPG, I'm not into Mass Effect, right? Mm-hmm. But if I want something a little bit more action oriented, I might lean more sci-fi, right? And then movie-wise, yeah, Lord of the Rings, you know, anything like that. But then I love when they combine, like that movie Reign of Fire, where it's like post-apocalyptic, but it's dragons. Yeah. And Matthew McConaughey is bald, which is a fantasy and sci-fi. But I love some of my favorite movies are sci-fi as well. I think sci-fi horror is a pretty superior genre of movie, and you know, like high like pretty. Like grandiose sci-fi is very, very cool and can be very good, but it can also be really bad. Fantasy, however, like it's got to be perfect, I think, or else it gets a little too campy. And, you know, I love Lord of the Rings and I do like the Hobbit movies, but like if I wasn't so attached to Lord of the Rings and like the actual Hobbit book, those movies go a little bit too across, you know, the border of what I typically enjoy. So it's a really tough one. I wonder if we can like look at the games we've played and divide it by sci-fi and fantasy and see how we rated them.
True. Yeah. We might be able to.
Yeah. It might be some homework for us.
This one's on the sci-fi side for sure.
It is.
So yeah. Interesting.
But good question, Eugene. I mean, they're two awesome genres of, you know, any kind of medium. So, I like it a lot. Actually, I prefer sci-fi books too, I think. You know, with some fantasy kind of thrown in. I definitely love fantasy books, but like a good sci-fi book, you're like, "Whoa, this is awesome." But anyway, yeah. I digress. Capolo, the birthday boy. What's your favorite game to watch and not play?
This is an interesting one, actually, because like Games Done Quick is going on right now. So they're doing all the speed runs of games. So there's plenty of games there that I like to watch and not play because I can't speed run, but that's a little different. I used to watch a good amount of like Call of Duty Warzone because it was entertaining to watch, mostly because of like just ridiculous things that would happen with what people would say. But I never really liked playing that game. But more recently, I don't know if I have a favorite game for this. More recently, though, I've been watching like Fallout 76, which I don't really like the Fallout games that much. But for whatever reason, I've just been watching some of it on Twitch, and it's been entertaining. I think it's honestly any game where, like, I just like live vicariously through these people that play these games. This is a good question as well, because like I don't really have a good reason for why I don't like these games to play these games, but I like to watch them. So I don't know. I'll just go with that one. If I think of another one, I'll let you know. But more recently, it's been like Fallout 76, which is weird. But what about you, Tom?
This is a tough one for me because I like to watch what I play, right? I watch a lot of Balcho videos. like every morning, I'll pop one on. Like, usually Raffle Light, who's always posting a new Balcho video every day.
Yeah.
And they're the most insane runs you've ever seen. And, you know, it's just, like, kind of fun. I did like watching like UFO 50, which I never got to play, but it's not like a game that I wouldn't play.
Yeah.
And then like, I don't mind like the new Mario Party. This is fun to watch. I played it too, but like, I guess it's more fun to watch because it's less time consuming and you get to see other people be entertaining while they're playing, which is kind of fun. I'm not really watching a lot of stuff to be like, wow, they're a lot better at it than me. Like, that's never been my thing. I know a lot of people like streamers that like they want to watch the best, but I've always been more.
No one's like, better than you. So,
well, no. I want to watch somebody entertaining, right?
Yeah,
right? That's why I like your streams, because you're entertaining. You suck at the games.
I do.
No, I will say I never played it, but I watched quite a bit of Deep Rock Galactic Survivors streams. But that's not like a genre that I wouldn't play, right? So
yeah,
it's a toughie.
I think also just thinking about this, I've watched a decent amount of like, there's a whole genre of these kind of games where like, you know, they're, I don't even remember some of the names, like I think Chained Together is one of them where like, you know, you got to go up and up and up and up and you could fall all the way down or whatever.
The Sisyphus game.
Yeah.
You gotta Sisyphus, push the boulder.
Exactly. Like I would never play those because I just, it'd be so frustrating, but I like watching people play those.
Yeah. Games. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
That's yeah. I guess one. I've watched a little bit of those too. So yeah. And I guess I wouldn't play it, but good question, Capullo. Hope you're enjoying your time in Japan. Bags asks, what is a game that didn't grab you initially, but you revisited months or years later and got hooked on it? I know what Bags is into right now. Texted me the other day.
Oh, okay. All right.
Bags revisited Enter the Gungeon.
Oh, yes.
Which was a game I always like, you're going to love it. He's like, I've been playing it all morning.
Yeah, for me, I know, I think I brought up like Hades before. Not that I got like 100% hooked to it, but Hades was a game where I just was like, I don't know if I'm going to be into it. And then I ended up trying it out. And I was like, oh, wow, this is really good. I see what everybody's talking about with this game. I don't know. Another game like that might be like Rocket League. Rocket League was a game where like I just didn't get it, you know, it's like soccer. I'm not like in the soccer and I don't know, I was watching people play and I'm like, I don't think I can get into this. And then I started playing it and I was like, I'm terrible at this, but this is a ton of fun. So that's probably one that, you know, I know I've mentioned before, Rocket League's always a game I just have installed whenever I'm like, I just need to kill like 10 minutes. Let me just boot up Rocket League and go embarrass myself. So that's probably one. I'm trying to think if there's any other ones that I kind of came back and like got hooked on a game. You know, that's the part that's getting me is like, what game did I get hooked on that didn't grab me initially? What are you thinking, anything on this one?
I'm just kind of looking through my library right now. You know, there are certain ones that I'm like, oh, I think Wild Frost was one that I was like, I was like, I suck at this and I'm not playing it. And then I was like, you know what? Let me try this again. Then I ended up putting hours and hours and hours into that game and I got hooked. It was like, I just need to get over that that Slay the Spire mentality when playing it, because you look at it, I'm like, this is going to be like Slay the Spire. And then it's like, it's actually more like chess meets Slay the Spire. And you're like, oh, okay, that makes more sense. So that's one. And then I think probably, the Last Spell was one that I picked up, played the when it came out, and I was like, oh, it's kind of cool. And then I didn't play it for a hot minute, and then I ended up playing a lot of it. I know our buddy Pat played a decent amount of that as well. But yeah, that's probably the big ones for me.
Yeah. I know also, I mean, this isn't technically like a specific game, but growing up, I was never really into Halo. You know, Bags, our buddy Bags here, can attest to that. I just, you know, I played a little bit at like friends' houses and stuff like that, but it never really grabbed me. But for whatever reason, there was a certain point, like years later, where I played like Halo Infinite or like Halo 4, and I was just like hooked. I was like, oh, this is why people really like Halo, even though those aren't the best versions of Halo. For whatever reason, it took me years to kind of like realize, you know, why it was good. I also think it's just like a, you know, it's almost like music, right? Like where you might not vibe with a song or an artist right away, and years later you listen to them again, you're like, oh, this is, I've grown in my life, so now I've kind of like, I can relate to this artist a little bit more than like 5 years ago when like I wasn't doing anything that could relate to any of their songs, or something like that. You know, it's interesting how that works. But yeah, I guess Halo would be the biggest one that I actually did get hooked on, but it's not really a specific game. It's just kind of as the franchise or whatever. Yeah.
Hey, I want to add to this question because, you know, now that I have the Steam Deck, I'm probably going to use it as an opportunity to revisit games that didn't grab me initially that I hope actually grab me this time. Are there any games that you're like, I should revisit that, I didn't give it its due when I played it initially?
Like from the show that we've reviewed, or just anything?
Any game. Because I have one in mind that I actually want to boot up on the Steam Deck, like, immediately.
Balatro. I think you haven't beaten it enough.
Tons of charm.
Let's see. I would say Elden Ring, but I know you don't like super difficult games.
You're guessing mine.
What I would do?
Yeah, what would you, you know, I'm saying I already have one in mind. I know Domekeeper is going to be the game that I revisit. Because
Domekeeper.
It's kind of spawned its own version or its own mini genre of roguelike. So, like, I know it's good. And I played it for like 20-30 minutes and then like had to do something, never pop back in. I'm like, oh, maybe it'd be better if I can just play a handheld.
Yeah. No, that's a whole nother thing too, is like when it's handheld, it's like just more accessible and just like, you know, it's just better overall. I actually do have, a category in my Steam that's just called Play More, where I'm like, I like this game. Like a lot of them are from the podcast. I just add it there, and like if I'm ever don't know what to play, I just have a little category of a few games. I'm like, I'll just boot this up, and one of them is actually Noida. I have 9 minutes of playtime.
That is one for me too, because that game's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I need to honestly look up, because I booted it up the other day and I played for 2 minutes, and I was like, I gotta look up a YouTube video to like fully understand this. So I need to do that, but that is definitely one that I want to play more of.
Just so you know, I did put in 16 hours in Elden Ring.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, it didn't grab me. I did play a decent amount of it. But yeah, no, Noida is definitely one as well for me, but yeah, I want to hop back into Domekeeper, and it might be a Rec Room coming up at some point if it is. And I think it's probably on sale pretty often if you want to check it out as well, Maddie, at some point. And we have one more question from K-More, who says, What video game character has the best jokes?
This one, I did a little, I saw this question come in, so I did a little bit of like research, because I was like, you know, I had to remember which characters made me laugh a lot. And one that always consistently makes me laugh, even when I see clips, I just saw a clip of this character like recently, even though this game's like older, is Wheatley from Portal 2, who is voiced by Stephen Merchant, who he makes me laugh in like a lot of different things that he's in. But Wheatley is definitely a character that just like, I think the scene that I was that I saw from Portal 2 is like he's like a little floating robot, and he's kind of like your guide almost in a way. And there's a part where like it's really dark, and he like turns his flashlight on, and he just starts screaming. He's like ah ha ah, ah, and then he's like oh, they told me if I ever put that on, like I would explode. But like obviously nothing happened, so it's just he's just like an idiot basically the entire game. But definitely, I think I've never laughed harder at like Wheatley from Portal 2, and hopefully they make a Portal 3 at some point. Probably won't, but yeah, just a really really funny character.
I never got to play it, but I do know that that's a pretty iconic voice. I mean, Steven Merchant's hilarious, so
yeah,
not surprised. Now, so I was gonna say Jimbo from Paltrow, you know, but like really, it's just like snide comments. But kind of looking at some stuff, you know, I don't know about best jokes. I mean, like every once in a while, Toad will get you with a zinger, right? And then like yeah. Professor E. Gadd definitely is weird and funny. I don't know if he's really like, you know, giving you the old knee slapper here and there. But God, man, this is actually a really tough question, to be honest. But, geez, I don't know. I mean, I don't play a lot of like narrative games, so like I don't get a lot of jokes, but like I always, there is a lot of tongue in cheek stuff in the Mario games, typically, right? Which is, I mean, I like that kind of humor. And yeah, I don't know. Jimbo.
Yeah, there you go. Jimbo, baby.
What a flop. That's a banger right there. Oh, no, you were bluffing too? Of course. That's crazy. You know, we folded like a cheap suit. I mean, golly, this is some good stuff right there. This quality. Is good. This is good stuff. But listen, I think that's going to do it for the show. But first, we got to go to the rec room.
Yeah, we do.
We got to take a little visit down to the rec room where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game, which in my case, it is one again. Also, thanks for the question, K-More, and everybody else. What are you recommending,
Matt? So I couldn't really think of anything. So I'm recommending Chipotle Catering. All right. Now, the reason I'm recommending this is because I saw a tweet recently, I don't know, just someone randomly on my feed, and they were just like, oh, I just bought like the smallest size of Chipotle Catering, and I meal prepped that for the whole week. And it was like $150, and it's like 10 to 12 servings, basically, for 10 to 12 people. And I told Maria about it. I was like, oh, this seems kind of cool. And then next thing I know, we ordered a catering order from our local Chipotle. We were like all prepared to pick up like a bunch of trays and stuff from them. And no, they have like a special, like big cardboard Chipotle catering box that just have everything in there. And so we just picked it up, left, and we've had it in our fridge all week. And I've just been like, oh, I'll make a little burrito today and make a little bowl today. You know, we had like two different, you know, steak and chicken. So you can kind of mix that if you want to. You know, they give us like a ton of chips and all that stuff. So I don't know. We're just trying it out for the week. It also, you know, we're trying to see like how long does this last? Is it like still good after, you know, a certain amount of days? Should we freeze some of it? But I don't know, just kind of an interesting way to maybe try to meal prep if you don't have time to do it, which we didn't have time this week to really like get our dinner stuff situated, which we usually do. So we're just trying it out, and it wasn't like crazy expensive or anything like that. So I don't know. It's just kind of a cool option if like anyone out there doesn't have a time to get their meals prepped for the week. Just be like, oh, I'm going to check out Chipotle. And apparently you can pick up these catering orders from like any Chipotle too. It's not just like specific ones. So check it out, and maybe it's worth doing if you're interested in having Mexican food daily.
listen, you know, I will say on that note, I go into an office now, and I'm concerned about my coworkers' diet based on the stenches that come from that bathroom. It is.
That's funny coming from you. I know.
I do contribute, but you know, it is what it is. But my rec room is a game, as is an indie game that I wish we did review. It came out about a month ago. It's called Chrysalis. It is a solo dev. I believe it's under the dev team called Metamorph Games, but the solo dev's name is Alex Yoder, and it is to me one of the more unique games I've played in a long time. You know, it blends genres in such a cool way that makes genres that I don't typically love a lot more approachable and fun. So the genres I'm talking about here is tower defense, which I will dabble in from time to time, but it does need to kind of be a little bit different than I'm used to. Mm-hmm. This is a lot different. And it also has this RTS kind of, you know, genre going on here that I don't really play a lot of RTSs. And on top of that, it's a roguelike with, you know, this kind of RPG style creature collector thing going on as well. It has cool. So many things going on that it feels so fresh and so cool. I downloaded it because I watched a couple videos. I'm like, you know what? This looks really cool. I'm going to just I appreciated that it was a solo dev. I'm like, this looks kind of up my alley. We'll see if it's any good. And unlike some of the games that we talked about, like where you only play for a little bit and then hopefully revisit, I plopped down. I was like, 3 hours went by. Like, and I didn't even notice. And I was like, holy smokes, this game is a lot of fun. The concept here is you have a chrysalis, like this kind of like a cocoon of sorts that you have to protect. And the way you do that, you're a wisp. You're like a little ghost, but you can take control of animals, right, that are in this world. Mm-hmm. And then there's infected spots in the world. So you got to go clear the infected spots to go get more resources and stuff like that. And then also you can get more followers of the animals. And then every like 2 minutes, another like splash of the infected spots happens. And then they come try to attack your chrysalis. So what you do is you float back. You can just call yourself back to the chrysalis and plant a bunch of plants that are going to be your tower defense that you kind of went and found out into the world. So it sounds like weird, but it's so cool. And like, you get to like make your creature that you took over like a hybrid. And then if your creature dies, you just become the wisp again. You can go find another creature to take control of. So it's really neat. I think this game is needs to be played by more people. So. Chrysalis.
Hell yeah. No, it sounds pretty cool. And I have it on the wish list. There's also a demo. I have to try the demo out and see how that is.
Yeah, I'm sure the demo is probably like the first like world. So basically you go through like two waves every world, and then like the third world is like three waves and a boss, and then you can keep going and going and going. Like I think my most recent run, I had like a maxed out level half slime, half spider, half ice, hybrid thing that was like, and then I also, you can get like these boons where you can be like, oh, this is like your mythical boon. And it was like, you can throw like a fireball, and like that fireball will kind of, you know, really do some great splash damage and stuff like that. It was, I don't know. It was so sick. It's sick, dude. So, it would be a certified fresh juice if I reviewed it, which I kind of am now, but I digress.
Hell yeah.
Again, I've digressed quite a bit tonight, but that's going to do it for the show, folks.
I'm digressing.
Where can people find you, Matthew?
You can find me at Matty Gorm. I was going to jokingly say like my address, and I'm like, why would I say that? at Matty Gorm on all the socials. I'm actually going to be streaming more and publishing some more stuff on YouTube just because some stuff finally got organized with the Once Human Partner Program. So hallelujah. Now I feel fully motivated to put a bunch of my effort into that. So check me out at Matty Gorm on all the socials. Tommy, where can the people find you?
You can find me on all socials at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds. And, you know, we got a lot of guests. Just had my buddy Gary on last week. This week is going to be Ponkage Bojuani, a.k.a. Ethnic Smoke, one of the best casters and content creators in the game right now. So recorded with him yesterday during the Packers-Eagles game. So that was a awesome experience, better than watching that game. You can find us on all socials at Fresh Juice Pod. And remember, folks, if the juice ain't worth the squeeze, we'll tell you, stay juicy.